Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. We look at the state's economy. Is the glass half empty or the glass half full? Guy Rocha and I will debate the issue. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Ty Cobb, Andy Barbano, and John Galtney. It's all coming up next on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program Guy Rocha, the former Nevada State Archivist. He and I have been carrying on this conversation now over several months, where he considers me to be the guy with the glass half full, and he considers himself to be the guy who looks at things with the glass half empty. And I want to kind of go through some of the economic situations in the state and see where you feel we are. Let's start out with gaming. It seems to me, you know, Consumer Electronics Show is off this week. Vegas is just packed. Business looks good. Convention bookings for 2013, 2014 are looking good. Maybe the people that are coming as tourists are not spending as much money, but the room reservations are high.
Half full, Southern Nevada, trend lined up, although we'll probably never see what we saw prior to 2007. But the signs are good in the South.
Why do you say that?
Because I'm probably reading a lot of the things, watching a lot of the things that you are, that I think Clark County, and particularly the Las Vegas Strip, has begun the recovery, and hopefully will be sustained. I think that area as a region is, after 5 years of economic recession, and the one I call the worst in Nevada history, Clark County is starting to pull out.
But don't you see it now? We're talking specifically the Strip.
Well,
Phil Ruffin said it's almost 2 years ago now that he was expecting for the following year a 10% increase in business, and he considered everybody along the Strip, with the exception of the Cosmopolitan, to be in that vein.
I don't see it growing at that level. I think the Strip will lead the way. It'll be the flagship. Things are still tough in places like Laughlin and Mesquite. They're just getting by. But I think if you look at the housing as well in combination, the signs are good, but it's still years away for vitality.
You know, it's interesting. You bring up Laughlin, and we could look at properties in Northern Nevada that are in the same shape. It's the lack of investment in so many of those properties. They don't have a new product. They keep dumbing down the product. You were staying in Laughlin not too long ago. What was it? They paid you $5 a day to be there? I'm kidding.
It's the other way around. I got a room for $7.77 at the Riverside, and that would have been at the, not the Riverside, one of the adjoining properties, and we split it, my roommate and I. And the idea was just to get you in there. They were so motivated. Things were so bad a couple of years ago that was trying to get anybody in the room. So it was the Colorado Bell. And the prices have gone up a little bit. It's as much as $19.99 now. They are very concerned about keeping the Laughlin dynamic going. No casinos have closed, but they rely on a senior population, and the senior population, many of them are going elsewhere to gamble in Arizona and California.
You look at Prim, and they're breaking out into the Hispanic market. They're doing bringing a lot of Hispanic entertainers in. The room rates are not high, but the places are packed.
Well, that's a demographic they've targeted. obviously it's working. You're telling me that that's what they're doing. And maybe what you're saying is, for the casino industry statewide, and here in Western Nevada, where I feel we're having the most trouble, is there has to be that kind of investment. And I think the if you look at the Pepper Mill, if you look at the Atlantis, they're doing that. Some of the other properties...
Between the two of them, you know, close to $500 to $600 million of investment in the last couple of years.
They will be the last casino standing, in my opinion. They're definitely moving ahead, and they're on the growth curve. You know there are other properties here in Western Nevada that are really on the borderline. And I don't know if they're doing what they need to do, and sustainability is questionable. I continue to see the casino market growing in this country and in this world. And that monopoly we enjoyed for so long, we're going to have to reinvent ourselves. The service economy is not going to drive this state in the way it used to prior to 2007.
You know, you bring up a fascinating point. Steve Fries, the freelance journalist, been on the show many times, wrote an article for the Las Vegas Sun a couple of weeks ago talking about how when he went to Macau recently, that the only Westerners that they expect to see in Macau are travel writers. And I thought, that's crazy. People are going to Hong Kong all the time. They're going to make a jump over to Macau to see what's going on. I talked to the gentleman that resides in Macau that works for Union Gaming, Bill Lerner's group, and he said, no, Steve's absolutely right. They have no interest in Europe. They have no interest in the United States. That market is a market unto itself, and they don't need us. And so, therefore, nothing that's there is directed to Western tourists. I thought that was very interesting.
Well, I watched Macau. It was a Portuguese colony in 1999. I'm Portuguese on my father's side. And it was interesting to watch that transition. And in a very short number of years, they made major investments in there, outside capital, and then, you know, worked out a deal with China. I think they paid 39% in terms of taxes. But they've transformed that that island and that peninsula in such a way that that is now, in terms of revenue generated, the largest gaming property in the world. 10 years ago, that wasn't even the case.
You know, what was interesting about that, too, is I always thought, and this was part of that shock, was that with a 39% tax rate versus one that's less than 7% in Nevada, that it would behoove the casino companies that are Nevada companies to ship their biggest plays over to Nevada, because that way, if you're going to lose $1 million, better lose it at under 7% tax than lose it at 39% tax. That's really not the case in any kind of major way.
Other than perhaps what the Baccarat play, because we do get some of the whales from China that do come over, but clearly you're right. You could cut your losses more if you could get them to gamble here than gamble there.
Talking off the strip, because I've said for a long time that I don't believe that Las Vegas really recovers until the locals market recovers, which means the strip is healthy, the people working on the strip, people who purvey to the strip, and people who are employed on the strip, and then going back to locals casinos. Union Gaming just initiated coverage for Boyd again, saying that they are doing quite well.
Well, again, that's encouraging, because when I grew up in Las Vegas, and that's my hometown, you know, neighborhood casinos, the local clientele, you didn't rely on them. They were there, but you didn't rely on them. Things changed as casino gambling expanded, and there was a growing recognition that you needed to cater to the local population, and it was growing, and these people, many of them had come from California, and they were gambling there. Now they could gamble in Las Vegas. So that's become an important component, and you notice how much they focus and fight over the size of that pie and how much they can attract. I mean, there are casinos, if you've been to Las Vegas, they're nowhere near the strip. They're right there in the heart of a residential area. And in order to be sustained, they need people in that part of town to patronize them.
So, but the good news is, and the half-full side of it is, that Boyd's coming back, and if Boyd's coming back, I got to figure, as competitive as Station Casinos is, that they got to be doing just fine as well.
The trend line is up in Southern Nevada, particularly Las Vegas. We can be hopeful, but we're still years away before it's very vital.
All right, let's take a break. More with Half Empty, Half Full. We'll be right back after this timeout.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Look who benefits from Nevada mining, because mining creates more than 50,000 jobs. Mining contributes more than $300 million in annual tax revenue, with more than 61% going to the state to fund our schools and senior programs. And mining invests right here, where you live, work, and go to school, paying more taxes per employee than any other industry in the state. In good times and hard times, mining is working for Nevada families, working for you. Visit our website and learn more.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
When it comes to state-of-the-art energy, Nevada is the right state to be in. A reliable, efficient network. Cleaner energy resources like solar, wind, and geothermal. And technology that will help you save energy and money at home. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with former Nevada State Archivist Guy Rocha, looking at half full and half empty here. Our second biggest industry is mining, booming, expanding in Eureka, expanding near Wendover, the price of gold high enough that they can still keep mining the stuff that's hard to get, which leaves them plenty of years when the price goes down, if it does go down, of getting the easy stuff.
Definitely half full and getting fuller. Pumpkin Hollow in Lyon County, you know, that's the
most
depressed. Yeah, it's going to be huge. And they're going to do it right as opposed to the mess that Anaconda left when it closed in 1978. Urban Nevada is where we've had the problem. Rural Nevada is prosperous for the most part. Elko, Eureka, Lander, Humboldt, White Pine. Other properties are coming online, and Pershing and Lyon and Nye and the rest. Things are good out there. Mining is primarily open pit. And, you know, people say, well, it's boom and bust. Not so much as it used to be.
Right.
Open pit, they can know how much they have in terms of ore values. Question is market price. If the market price is high, they can work the low grade, stockpile the high grade. I see mining, barring anything happening to the market, as growing and growing some more.
And you know, it's interesting because when you look at agriculture, Churchill County with this dry milk plant that's going in there is forcing the farmers to increase their herds substantially, which also means that the alfalfa growers will have to increase their growth as well substantially.
Well, all of that's positive, and as long as we have the necessary water, that's always been the challenge for Nevada. We're very arid, and our agriculture is dependent on water, and we're depending on good winter seasons. It looks like we have one right now, but I think agriculture can sustain its own, if particularly as we watch what's happening in California. There's some very interesting dynamics in California in terms of businesses leaving California, particularly after Proposition 30.
And it's interesting, too, that a lot of this dry milk is going to be sent, and powdered milk is going to be sent to China, that's where the market is for it. Let's get to the one area that is still in big trouble, which is construction. There's probably 100,000 additional workers that are not needed at this point in time, even if we have several of the major projects that are on the books for potentially moving forward. The stadium at UNLV, for example. You've got the ongoing link project for Caesars that's over $500 million project. Don't these people need to move? I mean, is there not a point where people have to be realistic and say construction is not going to come back? And that's the one thing I would 100% agree with you in terms of recovery, that we're just not going to see that kind of construction boom for many years.
Half empty. People have moved. Construction workers have moved. Some are still moving because they're going to other states, and there are other states that are prospering. Utah, right next door, is absolutely booming. I think a positive trend, perhaps, again, this Proposition 30, with people perhaps leaving California, the taxes going up on income tax and sales tax, they're going to be looking for houses, and they're looking at Nevada. There's no state income tax here, and I see a trend line where you're going to see thousands of people looking for homes, and they're going to look at the existing inventory, and we may have to be constructing some new homes. Will that turn us around? No, the crane won't be the state bird again in the way that it was, you know, prior to 2007.
No, there's not going to be another Project City Center, because initially the idea was that near Circus on the Strip, there was a large area that MGM owns where they were going to build a second city center. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. I do not Personally, I do not see any major casino expansion in the foreseeable future.
I would disagree with that. I think that the first thing you're going to see is either the existing properties like SLS that was formerly the Sahara, that's going to be refurbished and that's going to be reopened.
You're trying to bring it back.
Fontainebleau, at some point that property is going to be sold and opened, because we're getting to the point where we're running out of rooms. I mean, you know, when you see a week like this with CES, Las Vegas is essentially sold out. I mean, the occupancy is going to be the mid to high 90s. That is not sustainable.
Well, the special events, and Las Vegas has done an outstanding job with special events. But as far as the drop in the casinos, okay, I don't see the casino market growing, but I see that.
It's the resort market.
I know it.
It's so much more.
It's
expanding. You make more money in a nightclub selling a bottle of whiskey for $750.
That's the way you got to go.
$15.
That's the way you got to go. Don't be relying on the drop on the floor. Look at expanding what you have to offer, a total experience.
And you're a Las Vegas kid.
Okay? I did. I watched.
How many times has Las Vegas reinvented itself over the years?
I'm going to argue 10 times. Okay, my family got there in the 1950s, and I watched the Caesar's Palace open and change things, and then corporate casinos, and then the mega resorts, and all the rest. Las Vegas is about change.
And you know what? As soon as every casino hotel in Las Vegas is remodeled, okay, then they're going to need new rooms. That's the next time you're going to see a building go up. I don't know when. It may be 2 or 3 years, but I think it's coming.
Hang on. Hold your breath this year. Got to get through 2013.
I hear you, but things are looking better.
Yeah.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this time out.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI water and sewer companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard, while biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
The Pizza Baron is celebrating over 40 years in business. And as a way to thank you, Reno and Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just $20.95.
We deliver for 40 years.
Piping hot all over town.
It's late. Time to go home.
No, we found new evidence in Kevin Miller's disability case. His rehab specialist is willing to testify. The hearing's in the morning.
Good luck. You need anything?
No, all I need is to get this case before the judge.
Disability claims. Does anybody really care about you? At David Allen & Associates, we do. We've been helping disabled people for over 30 years. David Allen & Associates. Talk to the right people. I'm David Allen.
Endless pools are an incredible alternative to traditional pools, making it easy and inexpensive to swim at home. Call our toll-free number or visit our website for a free idea kit. Endless pools are simple to install, easy to maintain, and economical to run. Swim or exercise against a smooth current that adjusts to any speed or ability. Perfect for year-round health, fitness, and relaxation. Call our toll-free number or visit our website for your free Endless Pools idea kit.
The Pizza Baron is celebrating over 40 years in business. And as a way to thank you, Reno and Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just $20.95.
We've delivered for 40 years.
Piping hot all over town.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
I'm back on Nevada Newsmakers. We have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Ty Cobb is here, former special assistant to President Reagan. John Galtney is president emeritus of Truckee Meadows Community College. And Andy Barbano is the editor of NevadaLabor.com. Pleasure to have you all here. So I wanted to just kind of carry on the theme that we started off here with Guy. But in terms of talking about unemployment and, you know, reality, you know, at this point, what, unemployment is 99 weeks? You know, what do we need to do to make it more realistic, to get people to go back to work, to accept jobs that maybe they don't want to do, but the fact that it's a job, and get people off of unemployment and maybe include moving them to places where the jobs are.
It might have to be more restrictive rather than just providing unemployment benefits. I do hear from some members of the private sector that they'll get applicants that will come in and have, and they finally they say, no, I'm just here to apply so I can keep the benefits rolling. It probably right now is a discouragement to those qualified to work from going back to work.
But is there something more that we should do? I mean, do we need to cut back on the length of unemployment? Do we need to make it more restrictive?
I think obviously you have to ask the question, are the unemployment benefits assisting those who are looking for work and are qualified to work, or is it an incentive to remain off the rolls?
There are jobs available in this country, and in some places, lots of jobs. For example, in our state, Elko is booming, and the surrounding environs are booming with every kind of job imaginable. Housing, not so much, but the jobs are there. There are other places in the country. I mean, should our Department of Unemployment be looking at other places in the country and saying, you know, we can fund transportation to get to these places?
Well, it's interesting because in Eisenhower's State of the Union address, 1955, I think it was, he mentioned the fact that it would be good if Amtrak just simply had free passes for all the unemployed in the country who might want to look for a job at some other location. It was a revolutionary idea then. It's really a revolutionary idea now. You know, I do believe mobility is a primary issue. When you get to the bottom of the barrel, just finding a bus fare to another place is sometimes difficult. However, as a member of the higher ed community in this state, we need to make a much stronger commitment to occupational and technical education. We have not made that kind of commitment in the past. We're still not making that kind of commitment. I'm sorry, I hear good things, but some of those are unique. The base of that is just not happening here in Nevada.
And Andy, as you look at construction in the state, and especially in the southern portion of the state, we have 100,000 more people who are in the construction business that do not have jobs and are not likely to get jobs in the realistic near future.
Construction workers will go where the work is. Guy Rocha was entirely correct that they will migrate, even if they have to commute, in a lot of construction contracts.
But Danny Thompson talks about how many of his members are unemployed.
Well, that's true. You've got up to 70 or 80% unemployment in the construction trades. When I say commute, I mean a worker may reside in Sparks or reside in Las Vegas, but get a skilled job on a construction project in the likes of Wyoming or Utah.
Yeah, but they wouldn't be on the unemployment rolls.
There'll be subsistence for the workers, expenses for the workers built into the construction contract. So there are a lot of itinerant construction workers.
Right, but my point is that there are still 100,000 people unemployed in the construction trades in Nevada. Those are not people that are going to other states and working.
Well, and there are a lot of people that like living here. I'm an optimist.
But I don't think that's in the Constitution.
I'm an optimist, and I think that the trades are going to come back. I disagree a bit with both of my colleagues here. Number one, I think most Americans want to work and want to be gainfully employed, and I think you're looking at a very narrow sliver of people who would rather be on unemployment than be gainfully employed. I think that's the equivalent of Ronald Reagan's mythological welfare queen. And as far as the universities and the community college system in training workers, you not only have expanded in those areas, the Washoe County School District has a lot more vocational training now than they used to have, but you cannot discount organized labor's apprenticeship programs that have been the bedrock of the skilled trades in this state for 100 years.
All right, let's change topics here. Chuck Hagel is being put forward as Secretary of Defense, we understand, and read a very interesting article when he was thinking of running for president, I guess it would have been about 5 years ago. It was a huge article in the New York Times Magazine, and he was a very interesting character, a contrarian, a Republican, but a contrarian. contrarian. Your thoughts on the
potential two
tie?
Controversial appointments to date. John Brennan to go to the CIA, and there'll be a lot of questions regarding his work on the interrogation policies where they torture. With Chuck Hagel, the large question is going to be his contrarianness, specifically in challenging what is called the pro-Israel lobby, and some remarks he has made about gays in the military.
One of the things that is going to be needed in the next Secretary of Defense is somebody who is willing to put forward major cuts in the defense budget, because we are ending two wars, and that money that we've been borrowing to pay for those wars, we can stop doing that, can we not?
You're quite correct. We've conducted the wars off the books, and we're accumulating a great amount of debt. There is a tremendous change in our strategic philosophy away from the counterinsurgency nation building to the Pacific area, the pivot, and it's going to be take a very strong Secretary of Defense. And Hagel brings a background not only in defense management from the private sector, but experience as a highly decorated sergeant in Vietnam.
And somebody who earned two Purple Hearts. Interesting, and we don't have a lot of time here, unfortunately, but this is going to be an interesting challenge if it's the Israel lobby versus this candidate. Your thoughts on that and how that will play out?
He doesn't have a chance.
All right, that's a great... Got a succinct answer from a former president of a university.
Doesn't have a chance.
Wow. Yes. I will take a very conservative position when it comes to defense cuts. Until such time as all of those pork defense jobs scattered throughout all the congressional districts can be replaced, you don't cut and put those people on the street. You have to allow for transition, or else we're right back into a government-fostered recession. Those jobs have got to be maintained until such time as those jobs can be replaced.
No matter how much money we have to borrow to do it.
Exactly.
And that's where we have to leave it. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this time out. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Make your home look new again. At Sparks Tile and Stone, we have a huge selection of porcelain and ceramic tile, natural stone, and we specialize in granite countertops. Right now at Sparks Tile and Stone, we have granite countertops starting at $175. We'll find the best fit for your budget. We do free estimates and in-store design. We'll have your home looking new again. Visit our large showroom on Rock Boulevard today or call 358-7734.
Sparks Tile and Stone, for all your tile, granite, and natural stone needs.
If you want to start the new year with a whiter, straighter, or healthier smile, Absolute Dental can make your New Year's resolution a reality. Enjoy incredible savings for adults and kids this year, like free whitenings, $1,500 off braces, all your wisdom teeth removed for just $999, and lots more. Our friendly staff will help you get the perfect smile you've been looking for, even if you don't have insurance. So make an appointment right now, even on Saturdays, or visit AbsoluteDental.com.
Now get high-speed internet at home on our newly expanded Advanced Digital Network, a connection you can count on. AT&T U-verse high-speed internet offers more speed options, reliability, and Wi-Fi hotspots than ever. Call AT&T now to get U-verse high-speed internet for as little as $14.95 a month for 12 months with a one-year price guarantee. It's the fastest internet for the price. Our newly expanded Advanced Digital Network gives you more of what you enjoy online. And with AT&T, our wireless gateway turns your home into a private Wi-Fi hotspot that connects your Wi-Fi devices and can even save on your smartphone data usage at home. So call now to get AT&T U-verse high-speed internet for just $14.95 a month for 12 months with a one-year price guarantee. That includes access on the go to our entire national Wi-Fi hotspot network with over 30,000 hotspots. AT&T U-verse high-speed internet, now on our newly expanded Advanced Digital Network, a connection your whole house can count on.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On our next broadcast, Frank Woodbeck will be here. He's the head of the Department of Employment Training and Rehabilitation. I'll have to talk to him about it. See you on the next broadcast.